Oh, boys and girls, it's that time of week. You know you love it. Let's see what KC has in store for us this week. It's the Highbury Squad presents Kevin Says. Welcome back, everybody, and welcome to the show once again, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. Big week, big time. You were at Southampton. Before we do that, KC, I would like to just give a quick shout out, okay? Because I know you will appreciate this. My cousin Nicholas Harpers, he's a goalkeeper for Campbelltown City Soccer in Australia. They just won their third championship in a row, KC. They three-peated, just like Michael Jordan, in the MPLSA League in Australia. A huge accomplishment for them during COVID. Winning one's hard enough, as you know, KC, but winning three in a row is massive. Also, Nicholas made a super save in the 26th minute, and he wouldn't have ducked like Leno did for that Theo Walcott shot at the beginning. So just wanted to give a shout out to Nicholas and the entire Campbelltown City soccer universe, especially with Super Kev here, giving them a little word of congratulations.
Listen, congratulations to on the three-peat. I love the name of the team. I've got to say that, Campbelltown. I must say that.
I thought you'd like that.
I do like that. And listen,
Nicholas winning, is great goalkeeper, KC.
And hey, Nicholas, top class. Winning one is hard.
Yeah.
Winning two is seriously hard. But winning three, you're legendary. It's legendary.
All right.
Well done. Well done.
Thanks, KC. Thank you very much. And Nicholas, we're all very, very proud of you. Well done, everyone down there in South Australia. Okay. Let's get down to business. As Kevin says, you guys, you know what that means. Let's listen to what the big man has to say, and then it's all over to you, and then Josh will join us in a few minutes as well. Kevin says, let's get serious. Let's give Arteta time to build his own Arsenal. Let's see if you agree or disagree. I feel like it's going to get hot at the Highbury Squad again tonight.
Hello, and this is Kev Says number 10. And the title of this one is, Let's Get Serious. Let's get serious. Let's stop any nonsense. And I know, let's take the emotion out of it and let's look at the real about Arsenal. And we've discussed it many times over, but let's get serious. Mikel Arteta needs his own team. Because at the moment, this isn't his team. There's Wenger players. There's Emery players. And he's brought some players in as well. So you've got three lots of players. And for the Wenger years, which is really for a decade or so, have underachieved. And the same underachievers are underachieving again. So is that so? You know, we can break the seriousness into two parts. We can always look at Mikel Arteta and his inexperience. And there's many people who are actually calling Mikel Arteta out about, oh, he treats this one different to that one. And stop that nonsense. Stop it. That's what happens in football teams. You cannot treat, although you think it's right, you cannot treat everybody the same. Experienced players have earned that right. So they get treated differently to young up-and-coming players. That's just the way life is. If you don't like it, obviously you know nothing about football and you know nothing about hierarchy or in any business. Somebody who's done the business and got the experience is treated differently than the young lad who's just come in. That's just the way life is. So that's the first point, okay?
All right, here's the second point, you guys. Hang tight.
Point two of Let's Get Serious. We've known for years that there's deadwood. We have known that once the pressure's on, these players do crazy things. They do crazy things. And I don't even need to name names. But you can always tell when the players are not fully committed, that they start doing things to make them think that they're committed, but it doesn't fool the fan base. Well, it don't fool me anyway. It don't fool me. Who is the, who, where is the leader? Look, and I'm not calling out no names. I'm just saying there are certain players, experienced players, who should be shouldering and coming out and speaking. But I don't see any of that. I don't see anything. And this is where the culture at the football club, and so that comes from the top down, by the way. That comes from the top down. Leaves a lot to be desired, a hell of a lot to be desired. So the Burnley result, is it a surprise? No, it's not a surprise. We hope for a win. Of course we do. But they ain't got it. They ain't got it. And unless they're going to roll their sleeves up and get tough and fight, I'm telling you now, difficult times. You can change managers all you want, but whenever we hit bumps in the road, are the fans going to want the new manager, when they hit bumps in the road, to change things? We haven't got the biggest transfer kitty. Let Arteta do his job then. Let him do his job. Let him build something. Because you're only going to build something going through some tough times. We haven't got the money of a Chelsea or a Man City where you can just acquire top players all the time. We haven't got that. So it's going to have to be built. And whether we like it or not, the fan base, you're going to have to suck it up, because this is the way things are. You rest on our laurels for the last 10 years. Or more, and the culture's changed. We lapped it up. We got told down the river and sold down the river, leaving Highbury for the Emirates, and that's it. So now we've got to suck it up. We've got to feel the pain, and we've got to move on. So that's it, guys. We're going to have the discussion about all of this. All right? There you go. Kev says,
all right, guys, the same way you played up front, he's not messing about tonight. Kevin says, let's get serious and let's give Arteta a chance and build his team. I'm going to bring into the stream now our good friend Josh from A Burkamp Wonderland, who's going to join us tonight, representing not only as a key informer, but also the fan base too. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I didn't realise with my name tag underneath, half my face would be cut off. So I need to.
You want to elevate your chair? You can elevate your chair while I
you're
also going to be at the. Let's see if we do. I could change it a little bit here. I don't like that. I don't like that much, and I don't like that because it makes me centrepiece. So yeah, get yourself a cushion.
Sort that out.
Just like Arteta needs a cushion for his little tush these days. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Super Kev rocking the Dicky bow tonight with the old white number. Loving that. Before I came on, I was wearing a beanie and a jean jacket. And I'm like, excuse me, I cannot go on air with you looking half-assed. So I put the fedora on and the Burberry scarf.
It is Dicky bow Thursday, as you know, Sophie. So,
yeah.
Josh, look what you get. You get me in the Dicky bow, mate. So listen, let's have it. Let's have it.
I should have wore. I feel like I should have dressed up now, just like so.
No,
you got your fans in the house already.
All one of them,
and obviously, yeah, they're already giving you shit and stuff already. Thanks for joining, everybody. Loving the flat cap, of course, and definitely welcome. And then you've got Lockie saying, "Oh no, not Josh." So I wonder what that means. Well, listen, Casey, I'm gonna take it to you first because you were at the game last night. And we've gone back and forth a lot where we talk about players crossing the white line versus coaching and managing. A lot of Arsenal fans think that when Arteta was just the coach, he coached us to winning a cup. And then when he started to manage after being promoted, maybe it was all a bit too much for him. Just kind of summarize what you said in your KC segment before we hand it over to Josh and everyone, because there's tons of questions for you. You know as well as I do, there's a lot of people that agree with you and disagree with you when it comes to Arteta.
No, of course.
What did you see last night? Energy. Tell us what you saw.
Listen, I was at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
from 3 o'clock, right? And so I could watch everything unfold. Usually when you're around a squad and a team or whatever, I'm not in the dressing room or anything, so I'm not going to say I was right in the heart of it. No. But you do get a feeling, and it was limp. It was limp. It was lifeless. Just the way Arsenal started was lifeless. This is a team who needed to react. Southampton were all over us to start, scored a very good goal. But when you're expecting Arsenal to react, they didn't really react until probably the 30th minute of the first half. They were a bit better in the second half. I've got to say that. But without Saka, and he's the youngest player on the pitch, without Saka, we're going nowhere. And again, this is why I say the players. Even Leno's come out and said,
that was interesting, wasn't it?
It's got nothing to do with the manager. The manager prepares us. We know as players, which I've said time and time on here, the players know their jobs, but they're not doing their jobs. There's people out of position when they shouldn't be. You can do it 20 times in training, Sophie, Josh. You know, people could do it 20 times in training. But when you're supposed to do it where it really matters, people are out of position. And this is the problem that is in that dressing room at Arsenal. Is it weak mentally? Is it haven't got the balls to play for our great club? Because you know what? That's what I really believe now after watching that yesterday. A lot of them do not know what it takes to play for Arsenal. So when the pressure's on, that's when you're supposed to rise up. Not whimper, but we're not seeing it at the minute.
Okay, so I think on the show last night, I talked about how this was a small, tiny baby step, Josh, a tiny like baby step. When I mean baby step, you know, like when the kid's young and it just maybe pokes your eye out with a fingernail, like tiny baby steps where you know the kid's alive. It felt like that was where we were at. And the first half felt rancid. The second half, which is something I thought was interesting to both of you, is that I felt for the first time Arteta maybe affected the players because they came out and they played completely differently with a little renewed energy. They had a sense of purpose and a little bit more fight, which was very different to the first half. Josh, how do you summarize the kind of, you know, start of what Kevin said and what he saw based on, you know, being at the game and he was doing pitch side stuff for Amazon last night. And there's a lot of interesting things that he picked up that he's going to tell us along the way here on the show as well.
Yeah, I think the thing that it comes to me is that Arteta has, when he came in and we got the kind of COVID lockdown, we then ended up with those kind of, you know, water breaks and that 25 minute gap where he managed to get the team and kind of fire them back up again. We've seen when they come out of after half time, they kind of have that 10 minute spell. And we don't get that as often as we used to have because of that, you know, time he used to have with the players that, you know, they forget what they're meant to be doing. And as Casey said, it's this problem with we've got what, 5 to maybe 7 players that know in the squad they don't have a future at Arsenal come the summer. And we've seen what the market's like, especially around free agents. There's players like Jack Wilshere who can't find a club because people aren't willing to spend the kind of money that he'd want on them. Is the likes of, you know, Mesut Ozil, Socrates, Mustafi, David Luiz, are they going to find a club in the summer?
Kolasinac.
Their only option is to rock the boat, try and hope that a new man comes in who thinks, oh, David Luiz, he's a great servant. You know, he's an experienced player. I'll give him another 1-year deal. That's the only option they've got. And otherwise, they're just kind of sitting there going, they're just like massive fun sponges in the dressing room. That's what I can only imagine. You've got these players that are just so, they're just not bothered. I don't know, Kev, because one of the things Arteta said after the game was how the players on the sideline were supporting the team. Did you see that and were they vocal from the bench?
Yeah, the bench was very vocal. But they're trying everything. Mm. And once you know that's the case, when they're trying everything, that tells you something isn't right with them players. I'm telling you that now. Because, you know, I keep saying this and I'm like a broken record. But once the manager prepares that team, it shouldn't need a water break to fire them up. That's no. It shouldn't be. Because if there was no water break, then what happens? The problem is, if we'd have lost last night, that would have been five losses at home. The first time we'd have had five losses in a row at home.
In our history.
Yeah. So fair enough that the team didn't lose the game. But you know what? It could have been all over in the first half because we were so poor. We were so poor.
Guys, a lot of the guys in chat are also mentioning this, and I've had a few DMs about this, and I agree with Archie. These clicks have to go, and there's been a lot of rumours about what's been happening. And, you know, I've really criticised Arteta for his man management. But we've seen these clicks, and we know they exist from what Emery inherited from Wenger, and that's the Ozil, Mustafi, Kolasinac click. Obviously, you've got the younger players who are just trying to break through, but their click is like a healthy click, wanting to play for Arsenal and just break through. And until, you know, you get rid of the disease, right? And right now, there's no cure for it because these players are institutionalized. They are who they are. They don't care. They're earning six figures a week, and unfortunately, this is what we've inherited. But at the same time, it's down to the manager to pick the right players. And here's where I want to start with you, Casey.
Sophie, hold on. We never inherited none of them. We bought these players.
No, I'm saying Emery and Arteta inherited them.
Yeah, but my point I want to make is, and it goes back to the decade of recruitment. Mm-hmm. We bought these players who don't have the right attitude for our football club.
Yeah, we could have bought Kante, and instead we bought Xhaka. I mean, that sums it up.
Yeah.
That completely sums it up, right? So I guess where I want to kind of start with you, and then we'll go to Josh, and then there's a ton of questions for you, and even on the YouTube channel too, is I felt, Josh and Casey, that I was so grateful, and I don't want any of my players to ever be sent off, but I was so grateful that he was forced into making a decision because of Xhaka and Bellerin suspensions. And that worked. I don't care if Maitland-Niles made a couple of mistakes last night. You know, I don't care if, you know, if the midfield kind of had some, the point is that we were faster, we were more mobile, we had more energy, we had more protection on the right side. And I'm not into Pepe, as you know, but Maitland-Niles and Pepe play better together on the right than Willian and Bellerin play. And then dropping Lacazette and infusing Saka in the role that he did. And Eddie, I still have question marks against, but being forced to make these changes, I actually think made the team look a little bit better. And by a little bit better, I mean, we're not great, but we were a little bit better. KC, you were there. Wasn't there a little bit more energy about them, especially in the second half? And do you agree that these forced changes help the team? And maybe will force Arteta to think and drop his ego and eat that humble pie a little bit and say, you know what? Maybe I do need to start taking risks here. Maybe I can't play Willian and Xhaka and Bellerin week in, week out.
Well, with the Maitland-Niles situation, we've all been baffled, to be honest. We've all been baffled why he hasn't had a game when Bellerin hasn't been playing really well or anything. So, you know, whether it was right back or midfield, I think Maitland-Niles will do a job. I think he's a very, very good player. And he's probably deserves his chance. He deserves a chance. I thought he played pretty well last night, Maitland-Niles, actually, in that right back slot. Look, the midfield, they didn't start off great, let's be honest. But second half, it picked up. And one thing you can say is they didn't lose. Even going down to 10 men, they didn't lose. And it was a bit rash by Gabriel. Obviously, the first one was kicking the ball away, and then second one, he got too tight to Theo, got turned and put his hands on him, which, fair enough, got sent off. But the boy stepped up. I mean, Saka was sensational, I thought, when he went to left back. I thought he was sensational. You know, the kid's got so much talent and he can play multiple positions. You know, we're blessed to have him, because without him, that would have been another defeat. So, yeah, you're right, Sophie. It did make us look a little bit freer. I agree with that. But there's such a long way to go.
Okay, so Josh, Saka is a once-in-a-generation player, and I want to get to him in just a little bit here. And Josh, before we turn it over to the chat and stuff, you and I went back and forth about Bellerin, and I wanted you to explain a little bit to KC about what you see in terms of Bellerin in the three and Bellerin being more effective with his passing or crossing than Tierney. Can you please explain this to everybody?
Yeah, I think I want to start it by saying this isn't slandering of Kieran Tierney as well, because, you know, they're on the opposite flanks to each other. This is just a perception that I've seen, that Kieran Tierney gets a lot of praise for the stuff he's done and Bellerin doesn't, when actually they're very even in terms of their kind of output and defence. It just, one thing that I do find really interesting with Bellerin is how he's basically playing in midfield for Arteta at the moment. That he's kind of coming, he's not out of position in terms of where I think Arteta wants him to play, but from a right back point of view, he's out of position. He's not playing right back when we attack. He kind of sits next to, against Burnley, it was against Xhaka, and Elneny was in the middle, and then Bellerin was to the right. Unfortunately, I had to rewatch the Burnley game like 3 or 4 times to get the screenshots I needed to really find Bellerin's positions in there, and it's not an interesting game, I'll tell you that, even on the first time of watching. But it's just really interesting. It's why he's getting caught out a lot, I think, is because the defender that's behind him isn't as good one-on-one as the one that's behind Tierney in terms of Gabriel and Holding. We saw Holding isn't as great in a one-on-one situation. You know, Gabriel was very aggressive in his tackling. It's the reason he ended up with 2 yellow cards yesterday. It wasn't because he did something stupid like Xhaka or Pepe and lose his head. He just wants the ball. And that was the right kind. I know there's no right kind of red card to receive, but at least you could see what Gabriel was trying to do. He was trying to be aggressive in the tackle. And on Bellerin, he's more effective at crossing than Tierney is. Tierney puts in good balls, but they don't necessarily go to the man. Our only decent header from Aubameyang was from a Bellerin cross in a position where you'd say, that's where a number 8 would be, like an Aaron Ramsey. That's the kind of cross he used to put in for us. And I think having a look at what Arteta's trying to do, and I wouldn't say it's a carbon copy of the Man City system, but it is where Kyle Walker kind of sits. Now, obviously, Kyle Walker's got some superb recovery pace. And if they are in trouble on the counter, you'd normally see him getting back. I don't think Bellerin is as quick, doesn't cover the ground as well. But in terms of kind of statistically, he's not as bad as I think everybody's kind of making out. Because I think it's the errors are actually coming from Rob Holding behind him. And what Arteta's asking him to do is basically he's fulfilling that system. And when Arteta says, oh, I haven't got the players to play the system I want, that's where I'm thinking Bellerin might not be the problem here. Interesting with Maitland-Niles was playing wing back for us and we played with 3 in defence. And that's why I think we look more secure, because Gabriel was then free to be that kind of destructive midfielder that we really don't have. And the ground he was covering yesterday was just, it was great. He was getting tight to Adams. He was getting tight to Ings. I didn't see Ings all game, really. He was just completely nullified. And if you said on his form last season, he was probably the best English striker in the league.
Yeah.
Danny Ings, we didn't see anything from him last night. Shows how secure we are at that 3 at the back. And that's where I think Arteta's kind of rolled back on some of his principles. And I don't know if it was the Xhaka red card that led to that, or it was Pepe coming back in, or maybe it was Bellerin that made him rethink the whole situation. And so I wonder
It might have been Southampton, Josh.
KC, what do you, and I also agree with this because I think he doesn't instill confidence anymore. KC, what do you think about that? Because Josh had me really thinking, and I've been really harsh on Bellerin. Amanda and I have been especially hard on Bellerin. You know, we've all gone back and forth and said, oh, coming back from the injury needs time. There's been so much time now. And a little bit like Pepe, you know, like last year when we looked at Pepe's stats, they're a lot better than how he looks aesthetically in a game when you see him on the pitch, because he actually, stats actually show that he's done a lot more than maybe what you think, because he's not always easy on the eye, dribbles too much, doesn't pass when he should, holds onto the ball too long, tries to do too much because he's trying to force things. Tierney, on the other hand, has become this superhero. Everyone loves him. He's getting away with it. I said on the show last night, to me, he seems like a player that's regressed a little bit, KC, because sometimes, as good as you are, when you're among other bad players, as good as great players will make you look good in a team, bad players can make you look worse than what your talent is. What do you think about what Josh is saying regarding Bellerin? Do you think he has a point?
Maybe he has a point, but not what I see. That's the truth, not what I see. I see Hector Bellerin as one of the more experienced players now. And I don't think he's playing well at all. And so if he's not playing well, what does he offer? You see, what does he offer? Because I remember watching Jack Grealish bounce him all over the place at the Emirates when we needed someone to put a challenge in on him. I want Bellerin fouling him. Not him bouncing Bellerin. So, you understand what I mean? So, yeah, he's being asked to do some things as an inverted fullback. But if the manager asks you to do it, and you're a professional, you should be able to do it.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line.
So I wonder
if he can't do it, then I'm sure Mikel Arteta could be looking for someone who can.
Yeah, and that's what the point I was going to make, is that Arteta seems to be persisting with a lot of things that the current squad don't have the ability to do, especially over 90 minutes. You know, they could do it for 10 minutes at the beginning of the second half. We looked superb at that point, but where was the rest of the 80 minutes?
True.
And I think that's what Kevin says a lot, is that when he criticizes the players, what he means is that you can't be good 1 week, you can't win the FA Cup, and then just have 10 shit games in a row. You know, and I think one of the things we can all agree on is we've been mentally weak for years. I mean, that mental strength that Arsenal Football Club was built on, that DNA, that culture, that is long gone. And I think we all believed that it was coming back when we won the FA Cup. You know, Arteta in his first season, Josh and KC, 6-7 months in, he wins the FA Cup, he beats City, beats Chelsea, you know, takes us on this run, beats Liverpool twice. And we all get really super excited. But the Premier League is different, KC.
Sophie, do you know what us as fans saw? I called it at the time a snapshot, didn't I? We saw a snapshot of the past. We saw a snapshot of Arsenal being tough, Arsenal being dogged, Arsenal defending properly and catching teams on the break and winning the game and we're happy. That's what we saw. But these players always tend to revert to type.
Yeah,
because they're not consistent. They are not dogged. If things ain't going their way, you never see them roll their sleeves up and get stuck in. You never see them do that. What happens is they capitulate.
All right, so let me ask you both this. This was from Anish Thomas on our YouTube channel. And this was a message for Kevin when he was at the Emirates last night. Kevin, please, please don't let Huizenhoutl leave after the match. Sign him up and let Arteta go with the Saints to Southampton. A little tongue-in-cheek, though, but this has come in a lot from a few people, KC, is how can Huizenhoutl take a 9-0 defeat, be close to relegation to the Championship, and then drive this Southampton team with, on paper, some would say, less talent than Arsenal, and have them playing the way they are today? That's the mental block some Arsenal fans have, is how come he's been able to do that with the same players and Arteta hasn't been able to do the same?
No. Arteta has been able to get a tune out of some of these players and win a trophy. But again, I'm going to keep going over and saying the same thing. I'm like a broken record, people. The players are not good enough. They're weak mentally.
But were those Southampton players good enough? They weren't good enough last season.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get to the Southampton players. If the game were played on paper, Sophie, we would win most of our games. Yes. Okay? Southampton as a squad are nowhere near as good as us. So why are they where they are, us where we are? Because they are hungry. They're willing to work. They're willing to roll their sleeves up. Their fight, everything we're not, they are. Southampton are coming to high to the Emirates. I was just about to say hybrid, and they're coming to the Emirates and fancy themselves against us, the Arsenal. It's a disgrace, Sophie. This is a joke. I'm telling you, it's a joke. And it goes back 10 years where we got told down the river, yet sold down the river. Because if you look at the recruitment, all this way, Arteta's the only manager out of the last four who's tried to fix the defence and midfield. Only one. Everybody else hasn't.
Yeah. Go on, Josh, because with that said, I would say the same thing about Dean Smith, although I know Aston Villa went and bought players. Watkins has made a huge difference, and we've seen
hungry.
Them.
Sophie, they're hungry. Sophie, all
the
of these
make
teams...
Them hungry? Does the manager make them hungry?
No.
Chomp like lions. I made him freeze in time, Josh.
when they are bought hungry... Remember, they're playing at a Southampton or they're playing at Aston Villa and they're not been cohesive or nothing like that. But once it clicks in their head what they need to do, they're going to give you a tough time. And the better teams have to match them and then the talent takes over. But in fact, Sophie, we are not matching anybody. They're getting the better of us and then we're responding, we're reactive. No, we need to be proactive.
Josh, do you agree? Do you think at some point the manager also has to be able to change it just a little bit and infuse some type of passion in these players?
Well, one thing I'll say on Southampton is they also did a massive clear out of bad eggs. After that game, you never saw Buffao again. Lamina is now at Fulham. Mm-hmm. Hazard looked at his squad. It was a bloated squad. They had, I think... Fortunately, someone wrote an article on this so I can remember the numbers. They had a squad of 33. Now, a club that's not in Europe with a squad size that big, that's bloated. You know, we've got a squad size of more than that and we're in European competition and we've got a bloated squad. He hasn't went around and said, right, and the Southampton board backed him, just like the board have just backed Arteta as well and have said, you're not the problem. The people out on the pitch are. There's 11 problems out there and it's not even that many. Oh, sorry, it's even more than that. We've just got a squad that's bringing the rest of the players down with it as well. We've seen the quality from someone like a Maitland-Niles and from Saka, but they can't do it as often as we'd like them to because the think people around them are not good enough.
How could they get rid of their players, Josh and Casey? They're bad players and we can't get rid of ours. What is that about?
Sophie, do you want to know why?
Yeah.
They're too well paid at our place.
Yeah, that's true. They're on 100 grand. I mean,
I'm not going for 60.
No.
I earn 110. I'm staying right here. And this is the problem. The recruitment has been rancid for 10 years.
Okay. So here's another one. And this is one from Joseph Alcindor. And he kind of goes back to the Wenger era a little bit, but touching on what Josh said here to kind of keep the thread going, they should have financed Wenger financially instead of firing him for making top six on a budget year after year after year. KC, looking back, did he perform miracles? Was he part of the problem? Did our problem really start from that? Because we did our Myths, Moths and Mosquitoes episode. And for me, the problem started from the Wenger era. But hindsight 2020, now some Arsenal fans are looking back and saying, well, hey ho, he got us into the top four for 19, 20 years. The last 10 of those, you know, doing it with players like Shamak and Jovinho was quite a miracle.
But the league wasn't as strong. The league was not as strong. As soon as the league starts getting stronger, look what happened to Arsenal. All of a sudden, we don't qualify for the Champions League. And what is it, 4 years we don't qualify for the Champions League? That tells you everything. The recruitment, Sophie, of the football club should be to win the league, not qualify for the Champions League, should be to win it. And this is the problem.
Okay, I'm going to read this one out to you, Josh, as well. This is from Mike Healy on our YouTube channel. And we actually, believe it or not, have a few Liverpool and Chelsea fans that listen to us. I think that's from us having Mr. Cundy and Stevie Nicol on the show a few times. As a Liverpool fan, 10 years ago, when we were minutes from going into administration, if you'd have told me 10 years later, we would have won another Champions League and finally won the Premier League before Man United, and that Man United would be all over the place, and you Gunners were getting into a relegation fight, I would have thought you were mad. It shows you what a plan, good owners, and a clear transfer strategy can do. And KC and I have talked about this on our show with Amanda as well, in following the Liverpool model or talking about Liverpool. I mean, they started building from the front with that front three, but eventually got it right with Alisson and Van Dijk. Josh, you know, Mike brings up a great point, one we don't have.
Yeah, and it's not something that's going to change overnight as well. You know, we're going to need a series of transfer windows. I think there's people calling for Edu to be sacked. We can only prove himself twice a year during transfer windows, and he's had three of those. And in terms of the players we've brought in, I think he's brought in good players. The problem's been we can't ship the rubbish players out. And that's where I think we need to start seeing things from him in terms of doing that. But it is a process. You know, Arteta got a 3-year contract. He didn't get an 18 months deal. We're looking towards the future. We're building around that. And whilst it's going to be frustrating and we won't get the results at the moment, you know, like the person said with the question, they had a forward line back then of someone like Voronin up front. You know, it's not always, they didn't have the greatest players. We're just going to have to clear them out and rebuild. And we've just got to have some patience about it, which I know is a difficult thing.
There's one difference, Josh. Isn't there? Yeah. There's one difference with when Jurgen Klopp went to Liverpool. They had saleable assets.
Yes.
We haven't. Nobody wants our players.
No.
And this is why I go back about
and the this KC from Danny. Look, 108, he wouldn't get 30 anywhere. Lucky if he'd get 30. It's
well,
true.
Look, he got 180 because he came on a free. So
yes.
So I understand that because it makes him more negotiable for a better deal. I get that because there's no transfer fee. But the key to it is if we're going to be buying some of these players, if we need to shift them on, they should be saleable. But they're not. One, they're not saleable. And two, they don't want to go because they've got it cushy. That tells you everything about the culture.
Okay, so here's one for both of you, because this is sometimes where the rubber meets the road for me and KC, because I think it's 6-1, half a dozen in the other. It's a little bit of the manager, it's a little bit of the players. But this is from Cliff Porter. Thank you, Cliff, and everyone else for sending in your questions. KC, Kev, he says, I love you, mate, like we all do. But it ain't just the players. It's Arteta's decision-making. You say once you cross the white line, which is true, but if you have the option to put better players and you don't, time and time and time again, the gaffer is to blame, mate. Cliff Porter calling you mate and also calling you out just a little bit there, KC. What do you say to Cliff?
Well, Cliff, it's better players is debatable, aren't they? Better players is debatable because whoever is changed, whoever's played, haven't exactly done it, have they, Cliff? Let's be brutally honest, mate. So, I understand different players can play in different positions and he doesn't play the ones that the so-called fan base would play. But those same players have played this season and have done nothing. So, I don't want to hear, oh, it's Arteta not doing this. The ones who, when they get the chance, you have to take it and they haven't taken it. So, it is just what it is.
Okay, so the real captain brings up a good point, guys, because Bellerin wanted PSG, supposedly. That could be agent talk. Kolasinac was wanted in Germany. Mustafi was supposedly wanted by maybe Roma or Napoli. And obviously none of them went because they weren't going to be making the same money. We know at the end of the day with some of these players, money talks and bullshit walks. So it's a kind of catch-22 situation, isn't it, Josh, is that we're left with all the deadwood. It's going to take a while to clear it out. But I think it comes back to the point that Cliff made. And then here, Akram, I'm going to read this to you real quick. KC, I will still like Arteta to carry on, but also feel he needs to give a chance to some of the younger players. I know he's giving them a little bit more. Let's give some rest to Oba. He needs a rest. Lastly, I do feel like Xhaka, Mustafi, holding Bellerin need to go. A few more players as well need to go. We need some strong, fast and creative midfielders. I think we all agree on that. So I think going back to it, Josh, is Arteta now surely... surely, having seen a little bit of the progress in this game, will he revert back to Xhaka and Bellerin when they come in? Will he move Arsenal forward? Because part of this, too, is him taking on the responsibility and saying, you know what? This is my job on the line, too. I'm not going to play the deadwood. If I'm going to get a point against, you know, Southampton, I'd rather get it with these guys than the guys that I can't trust anymore. And KC's talked about him losing that trust as well.
Yeah, I wonder if because the season's so congested that we are seeing two very different teams and he keeps switching them. You know, we had Europa League was almost an entirely different squad to the one that we saw in the Premier League. Now that Europa's done, I wonder what we see at the weekend of whether or not he does just make the change of one or two to freshen it up or he goes wholesale changes again. Because we didn't see Lacazette, you know, and Nketiah started the game. I wonder if he comes straight in for... I'm trying to think who we've got at the weekend now. It's Everton.
Everton.
Yeah. Got Everton. KC Derby, that one.
Yep, tough. Listen, let me just tell you, John.
Which one of your kids do you love the most?
Them blues are rolling their sleeves up already because they can't wait to get stuck into a weakened Arsenal. Oh, my God.
I mean, it's true. We've got a very, you know, tough fixture list coming up. Everton are back on a roll. Ancelotti, you know, suffered, was it three losses in a row or two, Everton?
Yeah, I think three.
Yeah. They've won two back-to-back now. We can't afford to lose at any point, you know, over this next period here. Otherwise, the pressure just kind of continues and stuff. Okay, so let's go into... a couple of the chat questions. You're listening to the Highbury Squad here. We've got Kevin says, let's get serious. Here's the one for you guys that I'm going to put it out there. KC says, let Arteta build his team. Give him time to build his team. But, you know, like Newman says, he's also bought some rubbish too, in his opinion. I don't know if Cedric's rubbish. I think Mari we haven't seen enough of. Willian, I agree, you know, you guys. The Luis contract...
Hey, by the way, Willian is not rubbish.
He's not
Willian
rubbish.
Willian is just not playing well. And as you said earlier on, Sophie, sometimes a good player can get brought down by poor players.
And okay, so I'm going to say...
He was fine at Chelsea and now he comes into our place. Mm. He turns into a dud. No.
Yeah, it's... No, I know. I mean, it's amazing, though. It's a lot of players regress... when they come to Arsenal, unfortunately, it's happened to us. And that's an environment. Environment is everything, you guys. When you come into a changing room and KC played the game, I don't need to be the one speaking on his behalf, but you go from one changing room to another. We had, you know, Warren Barton talk about this on our Inside the Dressing Room, Mickey Gray, Sean Gota. You know, it's very different when you go from one club to the other. I mean, even when I was covering Zlatan here, the dude went from dressing rooms, you know, Inter Milan, AC Milan, Manchester United, and he comes to LA Galaxy. It's different. He's playing with guys, you know, who are earning 60 grand a year and are barely starting their careers. And here he is. So it's a huge difference. So let me ask you guys this question because it's a generic one in the group and I'm going to try and summarize it for you. If Arteta knows that there's mutiny, like Josh said at the beginning, there's rumors. I heard from a very good source about some players who are out of contract who might be causing issues. And I know on good authority that Ozil gave Emery a difficult time because Emery stopped the enabling that Wenger allowed. Right, he cut it off. So if he knows these things, and I guess why does he? What is he gonna? Is he gonna be willing now to start Maitland-Niles to start? I don't think Eddie's the answer. You know, I think Pepe, if he keeps pushing him and pushing him and pushing him into playing, maybe his form will evolve and change. But going on now, Casey, if you were the manager, wouldn't you take those risks? Why not?
Well, he's forced to. He's forced to make them change.
Well, he was forced to make two.
Yeah, he's forced to make changes. But again, Mikel Arteta, as far as he's concerned, is going to pick the team he thinks is going to win the game. I would do the same. And do you know what? What the fan base want to pick this one, that one. It doesn't matter what the fan base thinks.
So where do we go from here, Casey?
As a manager, I would pick the team that I want to pick, not what the fans say. Because remember, the fans are on the outside. He's on the inside. He's training them. Why would he pick somebody who probably can't do what he wants? That doesn't make sense.
All right. So, Josh, what about this guy? If he's fit, don't you start playing him right away? What do you do, Josh? What does your 11 look like against Everton?
Well, I don't think it includes Martinelli because I don't think he's fit yet. You know, the guy's been out since, what, about 6 months? He's been out injured
maybe
for
a bit longer, maybe, yeah, 6 or 7, yeah.
You don't throw him straight back in. And, you know, he hasn't had that much time under Arteta, generally, you know, and kind of learning from him. So, okay, so you want to come in on that?
No. I've got to mute myself.
Oh, it's his. Right. Okay, so Casey's been. I'm going to let you guys know. So Casey's taking a very important phone call, and you guys will all agree with this. Tyrese got injured, as you all know, playing for Stoke, and today he had his surgery, and he's been waiting to speak to him. So let's all give a big muscle in chat so Tyrese can get well soon and get back on the pitch. Send good vibes to Super Kev and Tyrese and the family. He's been having such a great season. He was player of the month last month, and this injury looks like he's out for probably the rest of the season. We'll see. So he's just having a wee chat with him now. So big fists and muscle for Tyrese and the big man. Right, Josh, back to you.
Where was I? I've kind of lost my train of thought as well.
Well, I was talking to you about Martinelli. Talking to you about Martinelli, yeah, because, I mean, he's very special, but you're right, we shouldn't rush him back, and he's probably not ready. But what do you do? I mean, what do you do? I mean, why not play Maitland-Niles? Why not keep playing Pepe? But right now, he's a better option than Willian.
Yeah, I would continue with what won, basically. Keep a winning team. Don't break it up unless you need to for the reasons, you know, suspension. Obviously, we're going to have to bring in another defender. For me, I'd be bringing in probably Pablo Mari over David Luiz. But it's the manager's decision as well for who can bring in. There's players I like, but as Kev's just said, I don't see him every day. Mm-hmm. I might want Callum Chambers to start over Rob Holding, but there's a reason why he's starting over, you know, Rob Holding is starting these games.
Mm-hmm.
The same for kind of Balogun and Smith Rowe. I hope now that the Premier League have agreed to expanding the size of the subs bench, that those options will at least be there. Whether or not Balogun would play, as an example, at least seeing him on the bench would kind of give us an idea of, okay, if we do need an option, he's there and we can bring him in as one of our three and bring him on. But I think there's so much pressure being put onto them at the moment. And you could see from Aubameyang's post-match interview for Amazon.
Oh, how nice was it that he came out and did one, Josh? Oh, I mean, where's he been the last 10 days? And he comes out and does an interview. What a fraud.
I took a photo of it because I wasn't sure what I was seeing with him coming out on there, but...
So, Casey, I just let everyone know that you took a very important call, a call that's much more important than this, and everyone sends love and was giving fist pumps.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
He's out of the operation. Yeah, he's out of the operation. Just heard that it was a success.
Okay, good.
So fingers crossed, you know, the healing process is pretty quick. He's young anyway, and he's 20 years old. It should be quick. And
his dad's super Kevin Campbell.
Yeah, with a bit of luck, you know, he rehabs right and comes back and there's no more problems.
Epic. All right, good stuff. And good luck, Tyrese. Thanks, and we're all
Josh and Sophie for carrying the Kev Says without
me. Yeah, we did. Okay, we've got 10 minutes left here with KC because we promised him he's got to go. He's got a lot going on, as you can imagine. And Josh, thank you so much for joining us too. So we're going to fire through these ones. So think quick fire round.
I've got an extra 15.
Okay, you got an extra 15. Okay, good, yeah. good. Okay, we love that. So we were just talking about Martinelli. We've talked about Balogun a lot on this show. Saka. I wanted to talk about Saka real quick because KC, and I also want you to let everyone know if it's okay with you when you kind of stumbled across Theo at the stadium as well.
Yeah.
And give us a few insights into some more stuff that you saw and heard at the game last night. And then I really want to talk to you guys about Saka for a couple of minutes. What did Theo say to you?
Well, after the game on Amazon, I'm sure some of the fan base would have watched it. And we had an interview with Theo. And we were speaking to Theo off camera. And Theo was just saying that, you know, the squad at Southampton are together. And, you know, I asked him, I said, you know, you look like you're enjoying your football. Are you? And he said, 100%. He says, the manager asked me to do stuff that I know I can do. Hence, the goal he scored. We all knew Theo could play on the shoulder. And once you put it in behind, you know, we're in trouble. And he scored that way. But he doesn't, he says, you know, we hunt in packs and, you know, it's they train the way they play, okay? They train the way they play. Mm-hmm. And that's what Mikel Arteta tries to do. He tries to train the way they play. But again, I keep going back to it, Sophie. Once they clear that white line, it seems to fall apart. And that's what even Leno said. And Leno wasn't happy. I could hear him multiple times last night.
Was he being really vocal last night, Casey? More than ever,
he was being really vocal, and you know, probably because he has to be a lot more vocal to try and put people into the right spots because they've been all over the place, Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I want to say is this, and this is about the culture and the mindset of a team coming to the Emirates. Theo turned round and said, "We know Arsenal are struggling, but we are playing better than them. And we came here with the mindset of getting the 3 points because we know the pressure that they're under. So when they took the lead, Southampton thought, we've got the lead. We're going to go on and get the second one. Obviously, Arsenal came back, scored a very, very good goal, by the way. And then obviously, Gabriel got sent off. And as far as they're concerned, that spoiled the game for them because they fancied their chances more with Arsenal with 11.
Mm-hmm.
Because with 10, Arsenal were just going to bank up and make life difficult like they did. They probably had one chance with Redmond hit the bar. But they were so disappointed to not win the game. And that's Southampton. 9-0, this time last year, 12 months ago, they were getting beat 9-0. So credit has to go to the backroom staff, the manager, the hierarchy. They've recruited correctly. They've got the right players in. They've got the right culture and the right attitude. And look at them. Look what they're doing. So if our players had the right attitude and the right culture, we could do the same. I know we can. And that's what Arteta is trying to do.
Hmm. Josh, what do you think of Arsenal fans going into utter freaking meltdown today and last night about Theo you know what? I wrote to Kevin and Amanda in our WhatsApp group. I said, I'm so happy he celebrated. Good for him.
It's also just
it was ridiculous. Yeah. Go on, Josh.
It's just the Theo Walcott that when he scored for Arsenal against Southampton, celebrated then as well. That same Theo Walcott that doesn't care who he scores against. He scored a goal. And I can't speak to someone that's ever scored a professional goal at that level. But Casey, I'm sure you celebrate. It doesn't matter who it's against. You celebrate.
Listen. I celebrate. You've got to celebrate. Listen, it was against Arsenal. The first time I played back at Highbury, I scored, and it was, listen, it was muted because I just left. It was, Theo Walcott's been gone for years.
Yeah, he went to Everton first too. Yeah, he didn't even just go to Southampton.
Exactly. You know, he's been gone for years. He owes Arsenal nothing. Why shouldn't he celebrate?
Did you celebrate, Casey? You did, didn't you, when you scored your first?
No, when I scored my first, I didn't. But when I scored for Everton against Arsenal, you're damn right I celebrated. Why not?
Yeah, definitely.
And it was the winner. And it was the winner. I'll take that. Why shouldn't you? You listen, this is a professional game, and it's hard to score goals. So when you score the goal, enjoy it. That fan base bit. Grow up, will you, for God's sake. Let the man enjoy it.
And I bet they were the same people that used to call him shit and overrated when he was playing
absolutely
for us.
So, you put the words right out of my mouth. It's just so pathetic how kind of weak sauce, you know, they talk about our defence and some of our players being weak sauce, but some of our fans are a weak sauce. If you're going to be offended by Theo celebrating, you know, what you should be offended about is how we let that goal happen. From the midfield to how they broke, and then how they broke the defence.
Sophie.
What did you see, Casey? Was Ceballos the one that lost the ball? And Elneny?
Sophie.
Yes, mate.
Your guy, who you called out, it was his problem. Kieran Tierney.
See? Yeah.
If you watch the goal, Kieran Tierney's body position is on the inside when the ball breaks to Che Adams. He plays the ball. Theo's here. He has to turn. By the time you turn, Theo's gone.
But wasn't there a clash in midfield?
Yeah, there was a clash.
And then we lost the ball. Right.
You lose the ball. But remember, the defender is looking at everything.
Mm-hmm.
So reading the game is what it's all about. So what do you do? You know where Theo wants it. So you've got to shift over across to Theo and block that passing lane.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mind it going outside you, but when it goes inside you, Sophie, you're in big trouble.
Okay, so you're listening to the Highbury squad here. We've got another 15 minutes here with Super Kevin Campbell and Josh from A Burkamp Wonderland. Some great questions coming in on the chat and also on our YouTube channel. I'm going to get to as many of them as I can. One that's coming in that's you guys are much more educated to answer than I is everyone was asking, where's this so-called press that we have or are supposed to have?
Well, we ain't got one. If you look at Southampton, they go with 3, 4, 5 players to hunt the ball and then they win it back. I see 1 or 2 going at Arsenal, but it's not sustained. It's not sustained that you trap people. Because you pressed in order to trap the opposition. And when you trap the opposition, you win the ball back and then you could obviously spring into attack. But you know what that takes, Sophie? Josh, it takes hard work and graft.
Discipline.
Forget your talent. Hard work, graft, discipline, a mental toughness and a will to win. It's a cultural thing. We haven't got it.
Yeah.
But Nadine's saying that we did, Josh, when he first arrived. Is that a fallacy or?
No, we definitely had one. But then, as Casey is saying, one, it's hard work. And he's obviously realised, you know, he came straight in and then he's learning about his players. This didn't happen after a pre-season. This was I've come straight into the job. Right, I want him to press. And he realised after 3 or 4 weeks, they either haven't got the fitness levels or the fact that they haven't got the ability to deal with more than a handful of instructions. Because you can see they can't cope at the moment with what they're being asked to do in terms of positioning, and they're not even being asked to press. So,
and you know, Josh, let me just add to that. To be able to press, you've got to be intelligent. You've got to be intelligent because there are certain triggers that set you off to press. But when you go, Josh, I've got to go and Sophie's got to go, and it triggers other players. Our players just seem to be switched off and one goes and he gets picked off and then I will go. It's not together. It's not uniform. And I know, and I saw it last night, Mikel Arteta steam was coming out of his ears, let me tell you.
How much was he yelling, KC? Because one of the other questions that's come in for both of you, and KC, there's been a few of these on our YouTube channel wanting to ask you this. And even a Liverpool fan, a good friend of the show, Dave Rickett, said, he goes, I think he's overcoaching. And that's something that's come through a lot for me to ask you, KC, is that because of the silence and you hear him yelling and he's going for it, is he overcoaching? Is there such a thing that he could be doing in the game even?
There's no such thing. There's no such thing as overcoaching. What he's got to do, he's, as a manager, you've got to coach what you see. And remember, there is a hell of a lot wrong with Arsenal right now. So he's got to try and instruct them to get better.
Mm-hmm.
When things are going hunky-dory, he doesn't need to say anything.
Right.
But the problem is there are major problems. We've got major problems at Arsenal. We have.
All right. So here's Josh. I'll start with you on this one, especially coming from the point of view as a fan. And I've been avoiding asking KC this question, but I have to because we've been inundated. And it's the topic of Spurs, unfortunately. So, Josh, I'm going to start with you. Coming from your tactical perspective, but also from your fan point of view. This is from Stelios Driteos on YouTube. Yasu Stelio Diganis, Elpizo Galana Ise. Spurs were in a total mess before Levy took over, and now they have a new training ground, a new stadium, increased revenues and profits, and a top manager. You could say Spurs have a plan. They just need to win trophies, but it looks like it might just happen now. Josh, I hand it over to you. But for me, this Spurs story has been years in the making. I think we'll all agree it's been years in the making. We've seen it coming. They got to a Champions League final. They could have won the Premier League a couple times, especially in the Leicester year where we could have won too. Say what you want about the enemy, but they seem to have it a little bit more right than us right now.
Well, it's amazing what you can do when you have some patience and 10 years. That's what I would kind of say is, you know, we don't, we're in this kind of beginning of this journey. You know, we're back in the kind of Wande Ramos bottom of the table before Harry Redknapp comes in. That's where we are right now. But we've got the right man in charge, I think, anyway, to bring us forward. And we've now got the right hierarchy. When you were going through your video on, you know, the mosquitoes, and I'll go through the rest of the insects if I can remember them, but
it was moths.
There was it. I was going to butterflies, but I don't think we had any of those. And it was all these
David Dean was our only butterfly.
Yeah. And it's all these shysters we've had through the club for the last 3 or 4 years, that kind of power grab and struggle since Wenger went, because that hole he left when we brought in just a head coach to replace him, there was all of other Wenger's responsibilities, and everyone wanted a piece of that pie, and everybody wanted to put down their mark. What you have with Daniel Levy is a guy who owns part of the club. So of course he's still going to be there for the long term, and he's running it on the day to day. So he's got that mentality, and he's not going to necessarily get mugged over by having to bring in outside counsel. We don't know if I don't know if he brought in any outside counsel for it, because you know what? I don't look at Spurs that closely. But in terms of looking at it, it's a project that's coming to fruition. We're starting our project.
Wow. That's scary to think that. But I think that's a really good statement, don't you, KC? Because we've been at the highest and the tippy top of the football mountain, and Spurs have been wanting to get to the tippy top, and they've watched us for years and years and years. For the first time ever, I said to my cousin, and I have a lot of cousins who are Spurs fans, and I said, F me, this is what it feels like to be you for all these years.
We don't like it.
We don't like it. We absolutely don't like it.
Sophie, here's the funny thing. When Arsenal were where they were at the top, Arsenal were lording it up. And then we accepted qualifying for the Champions League like it was a trophy. But in all that time, lesser players were coming into our football club. But because we were qualifying for the Champions League and we weren't getting anywhere in the Champions League, but because it was we're top four, we're top four, we're top four, fans accepted it. But now the chickens have come home to roost because the squad, yep, the squad is nowhere near good enough. And all that time we've been going like that, they've been building under Pochettino.
With patience, because there's no expectations.
There's no expectation, but they've been building. And now, remember, Pochettino couldn't get them over the line.
No.
And now they've got Mourinho, right? Who is making them dogged, is toughening them up. Everything that we talk about on here, Sophie, you heard it. He wants them to be C-U-N-T-S. He wants them to be loads of that because he knows without it, you cannot win.
Yeah, that's why in one area I agree with him. And let me tell you, KC and Josh, does he not have his arrogance back in those press conferences, guys?
Oh, yeah, he's got his swagger back. And you say Spurs also didn't start with a bloated squad because they weren't in Europe when they were in this kind of mess. They didn't have a squad of that size. They didn't have to. They only had to deal with 40 games a season. That was it. We've got to deal with 50 plus every season. And we have for years.
Yeah, but Josh.
Yeah.
But that is even more so why we should have bought more quality. How could a club like Arsenal go 10 years without buying a dominant centre-half and without buying a dominant centre-midfielder?
And KC, someone in chat said a minute ago, we ended up buying players like Scalacci, you know, and dogs like
that. That tells you
everything.
That tells you everything.
Darren sent this a few times, and I think if I don't put it up on screen, you might have a conniption. Great show. I saw KC's debut off the North Bank with a North Bank with a North Bank. Hi, Burry. Whoa. It was exciting after hearing how many goals he knocked in for the reserves. Was it 50 odds? He's knocked in quite a few hundreds. So, but thank you, Darren. And KC, it's always lovely when people, watch you play and stuff like that. Okay, lots and lots and lots of comments. We're going to spend the last 7-8 minutes of the show talking about Saka. What I said on the show last night, Josh and Super Kev, is stop the nonsense with him being too young and putting pressure on his shoulders. This kid gives zero Fs about pressure and stress. His footwork leading up to the Aubameyang goal, I mean, I'm wearing the number 7 shirt. It was just my hairs went up on end because I was like, look at this kid. He plays fearless football. He's got no stress when he plays. He plays happy. He's a leader. I don't care how old he is. And I said to someone on Twitter today, Steven Gerrard was made captain of Liverpool when he was how old? John Terry was made captain of Chelsea when he was how old? KC, you've been there. You've worn the short shirt. Josh, you know, from your fan head too, he's not too young to be the leader of this team. Granted, he has and will have his mentors, KC. But tell me, like seeing him in the flesh, when I saw him play, I was like, wow. I mean, he's just special, smacks you in the face when you see it on the pitch.
Yeah, he is special. He's a special talent, but he's not a captain. I could tell you that. He's not a captain. No, he's not a captain, but one thing I will say, he puts a lot of those experienced players to shame. Absolute shame. Young lad coming in, playing like that, fearless. And there's other people who a lot of money was spent on them.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, again, it's a fair shout from you, Sophie. It's a fair shout.
Okay, but what makes you think he's not... How old was Tony when he was made captain too? He was young, Tony Adams.
Yeah, but Tony Adams and Bukayo Saka are two different people.
Mm-hmm.
One is dominant. And I'm not saying Saka isn't quality, but he's not dominant. You need a dominant player. And that's the captain. That's somebody who you can get behind. I think Bukayo Saka is quite quiet. I think he's a quiet character who is just multi-talented on a football pitch. But I don't think he's what we need. We need some of that. That's what we need. And we respond to that as fans.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Josh,
what we need from me.
Yeah, I mean, Josh, as a fan, I mean, for me, I don't know. I just feel like sometimes there are captains that are really vocal, okay, and there are captains that are like Tony and they're like John Terry. Steven Gerrard wasn't really a super vocal captain. He expressed his leadership the way he played. Can't Saka be that kind of leader, Josh?
Yes, but should he be wearing the armband to be that leader? I'm not going to say don't be a leader, Saka, because we need those in the squad. But for me, he doesn't feel like captain material. I'm not sure our current captain is captain material either. His head drops when things aren't going right. And when you say Steven Gerrard was a quiet captain, did you ever see Steven Gerrard's head drop? He was always fighting.
Only when he slipped against Chelsea.
Only when it was unfortunate.
That was mean, sorry. But
in terms of us on the field.
True.
He still got up and they tried and he continued and he tried. And even if it's not the most talented player on the field, he could still be a great captain, a great leader. And that's what I think we need. And there isn't really anybody in the
Josh,
club.
Josh, let me just add this as well. We always say, Arsenal fans always say, we miss a leader like Tony Adams and Patrick Vieira. I don't think Saka's that type. I think Saka's a quality talent who can lead in his own way. But I don't think that steel that we need should be bestowed on this young man. I think it needs... We actually need to buy nasty players, I think. We need some nastiness in the team. Because you know what? I'm seeing Southampton come to the Emirates and are bossing us about. Who put some tackles in on that Ward-Prowse? I see Ward-Prowse run from the middle of the pitch. The ball got played to Aubameyang down the wide left. And Ward-Prowse is coming, making tackles. He gets the ball off Aubameyang and goes out for a goal kick. I don't see our midfielders do that.
He was wearing the captain's armband as well, wasn't he?
Wearing the captain's armband. Yeah.
Sorry, Soph.
No, I was going to say, I might block name blocked, saying that he's not Saka's biggest fan. Name blocked. Try another comment. Okay. Keep working at that. Sorry, Josh. I didn't mean to interrupt
That's
you, mate.
That's all right. He's called
name blocked. Name blocked.
He'll be account
for some reason. I mean, so many great comments about Saka. And Josh, just to wrap real quick, our current captain disappeared for 10 days, scores a goal, comes out and talks. KC, I know even you weren't very impressed with that. I mean, that's not leadership.
No, but but I understand it. Again, it's weeks. It's weak sauce.
It's fraud.
No, it's weak. Sophie, it's
the
weak.
The club should never have allowed that. The PR team should have known better than to do that.
Sophie.
Yes. Yay, he said it.
Sophie, we are a weak football club. Period. Let's get serious. We are a weak football club, full stop. So that's why Aubameyang could be captain. Aubameyang should be concentrating on his job and let the captain be the captain. But we haven't got one.
We haven't had one for years, or whatever many years,
because we don't recruit right. We don't sign the right players. We don't have, in the squad, Sophie, Josh, we don't have the right balance because you need a balance. We haven't got the right balance. When the going gets tough, who are the players who get tough in our midfield?
None.
We haven't got any. Our so-called man who we thought was coming in as a central midfielder holding is a number 10, Saka. He's not even good enough to be a number 10. He's not good enough to be a number 8. He's not good enough to be a number 4. He's not good enough to be a number 6. So what is he?
This guy eventually, hopefully, will be the leader and maybe a potential captain as well. I mean, I think it's going to be... So one of the things, KC, the whole point of this show, and we're going to be closing the show in just a minute here, and I want KC to have the last word. Josh, we're going to bring you back because we've got a lot more football to talk about throughout the season and we've got a shit ton of shows to do. And so we'll come back and we'll do some in-depth stuff with you on not only Kevin Says, but also on our regular show too. KC, Josh gets... I was giving player ratings last night. Tonight, Josh gets an easy 9 out of 10 for me.
Excellent. Josh has been excellent. And Josh, I could work with you again. Definitely.
I like that. Right. Oh, yeah. We're going to stick. Hey, the loan deal we've been waiting for. Josh comes to Highbury squad and Amanda goes to a Bergkamp Wonderland. KC, your deal's done.
Listen, the problem we got, nobody wants her. Nobody's taking Princess Guna. Nobody wants
Danny
her.
Danny might.
So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put her in the stiffs. Princess Guna is going to go and play in the stiffs. Josh, and you can come on the main team. There you go.
Oh, man. KC, I want you to have the last word because you were at the game last night and one of your your titles was let's get serious and let's give Arteta a chance to build the team. And I've said to you many times, I don't want to repeat it, about, you know, in my mind, the manager building and the image of himself. I've mentioned Pep, Conte, Klopp, all these great managers. Why don't you close out for us and tell us exactly what you meant by that part? Because there are a lot of Arsenal fans right now, and I know you've tried to like calm everybody down in a lot of ways in terms of Arteta's had one transfer window, really, another one coming up. He's 1 year in his job. He's won the FA Cup, the Premier League. It's all about form and winning. And if he can just – this time last year, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's Manchester United were in a similar position. They end up finishing in third and qualify for the Champions League. Let everyone know what you meant by that as we close the show out.
Yeah. The point where I meant about getting serious was this. What we got to do is, I know there's people in meltdown, etc. Let's take the emotion out of it and look at it for what it actually is. What the club actually is right now. The club are a train wreck going downhill. And it's because the players are not good enough. Whether you like this one, that one, or you're going to want to depend on the youngsters, that isn't Arsenal Football Club. The youngsters should be coming in to play with players who are seasoned, ready, and then the youngsters can come in and shine. But we're relying on young players. So here's the serious part now. Mikel Arteta is the fourth manager in 3 years, okay? Again, the squad has been lacking all sorts. The balance is all wrong. There's clicks. There's all sorts. What we've got to do is not really rip it up and start again, but we've got to get the dead wood out and we've got to get not even necessarily better players, but more consistent players in. We've got to get players with an attitude in. We've got to get players hungry into the football club, who want to play for the badge, who when they're having a bad day, they will still battle and work, and we'll end up winning the game 1-0, and we could say 1-0 to the Arsenal. We ain't getting that right now because if things ain't going great, we ain't good enough. So in the image of Arteta wants the players to press. He wants the players to be adaptable. He wants the players to play with flair, with no fear. And we haven't got that at the moment. So taking the emotion out of it, this is what he wants to build and let him build it. If it doesn't work down the road, we could say, great, you're gone because we've given you three windows and you haven't done anything. But he does need time.
You know what? Like in the great movie, he said Sophie, Sophie, Sophie early. That's a great summarization, KC. And you know what? In the famous film Field of Dreams, the line was, if you build it, they will come. And in the end, they did. Josh, thank you again for joining us. You've been absolutely brilliant. We're going to do this all over again, mate. And this is where you can find Josh. And what's the podcast address? Is it AFC Podcast, the AFC Podcast?
We're at the AFC Podcast. We got in quick because Bergkamp Wonderland's got too many letters in it.
Listen, it's been a great week of shows. We're going to be back post Everton, everyone, with a great guest, Alan Myers, who's a wonderful Evertonian. We'll be back for a post game show after Everton. Let's hope, you know, that we beat the Toffees. Sorry, KC, but I even think in this instance, KC will take
it. Arsenal need the points.
Cool. And then Super Kev, tell everyone, until then.
You make us sad, but you know what? We love you. Up the Arsenal. Go on.
Get-